On tonight's show, we are talking about college football, obviously, but it's 150 years old this year, Thomas, and ESPN is celebrating.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to see what they're doing. We'll talk about that. We're also talking about the last 5 years and how well Sun Belt programs have been doing.
And we're talking a new segment in tonight's show, Bench, Start, and Cut. We're talking the three newest programs in the Sun Belt. Which one are you going to take? It's all in tonight's show.
The history of college football right here on the Bench Boys.
Roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water slides, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Man, I still get juiced about that song, man.
Really?
It's...
I'm so glad you like it.
It is prime pump-up type music.
I really felt like it was us.
I rock every time whenever I hear it. Like,
just head bobbing in the car drive across the Bayway. Yeah.
No, we're rocking with it. Welcome back into the show. We are the Bench Boys. I'm Colin.
I'm Thomas.
And, we're the Bench Boys, like I just said. This is our show. We're talking strictly... college football, but with a very particular
emphasis,
there I guess. Yeah, emphasis would be the correct word on Sun Belt Group of Five. So if you're here for that, you found the right place because we're the best that do it.
And if you like what you're hearing, give us a follow on Twitter. We're at the OG Bench Boys. We're also on Facebook. I did not post anything last week on Facebook, but we're there and you can connect with us that way. I will check the messages, I promise. Finally, if you have comments or anything you want to comment about the show, call us 1-413-400-BOYS. That's 2697-1413-400 the boys. Boys.
You did really good last week. And
I did.
We didn't have the card in front of us, and we thought we could do this. We can do this.
1-413-400-BOYS.
2697.
That's it. That's it.
There you go. So yeah, we're gonna post that here in a little bit. So check our social media. You'll be able to see the phone number.
I already did.
There you go. We already pushed it. So so you guys should be able to start calling in. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your thoughts. Tell us what you want us to talk about. We love that type of conversation.
If you've got a stat you want us to dig up, if you want us to find out a story for you, we'll tell you a story.
We will.
Speaking of stories, it's 150 years of college football.
150 years old. That's how old a story this is.
That's amazing.
A lot of stories in those 150 years. So there's a lot of celebration going on this year for it.
So let's get into it.
Out of the gate.
Yeah, 150 years. I mean, you think about all of the things that have happened in college football in 150 years.
All things
huge.
That happened, period.
I mean, huge things.
Yeah.
Huge things. I mean, we're talking, back in the 40s, you had Heisman winners that were going off to fight in a war. Literally, I mean, that's what happened. I mean,
two world wars happened
during football.
College football.
Yeah. You had guys that were literally not even finishing their college careers and getting enlisted because of the draft. I mean,
yeah.
Just crazy. You have integration of white and black players. Ernie Banks,
mm-hmm.
for one, the first ever black Heisman Trophy winner. Just incredible, incredible stuff. And all of that will be featured on the three big networks. When it comes, ESPN obviously is doing a lot. We were actually at the Sun Belt Media Day, and they showed us a couple of little things that ESPN's working on. The development of the playoff, the BCS, how it kind of developed. I mean, just in really, I mean, not, and it's not going to be like a chronological order, but it's just all huge things. And then things that you don't think about when you think about college football.
The game itself has changed so much.
Yeah. That was the biggest thing. Cause just the fact of like they were telling us, football was a lot more closer to rugby back when football first started.
Right.
The pads, the way you progress the ball down the field was a lot closer to rugby. It just, and in that first game between Rutgers University of all teams and Penn, it was a lot different game, a lot different game 150 years ago. So, and I don't think they knew, because really it was just for college kids. They just, they wanted a way, they wanted something that could develop into colleges kind of being able to have some trash talking, basically. And that's where it kind of developed. And it, I mean, college football was around before the NFL, mind you.
Absolutely.
Like, the NFL had to battle college football at one point in its, in both of their existences for prime time.
And they're still doing that now.
And they're still doing it now, but it used to be college football was, had the better players. College football had better players than the NFL. Now, in our age, we're thinking, that's a crazy, crazy thing to think.
Yeah.
But that's how it was. Players weren't going in, going to play professionally because they weren't being paid. The NFL had no money when it first came out. So players really didn't want to do it when they, because this was back also in a time too where you were going to college and you were going for 4 years and you, and everyone was getting a degree and you weren't being paid millions of dollars like they are now. So, I mean, so it was a real battle for the NFL to just get something going at one point compared to what college football had.
What does that sound like?
It sounds like another league that that tried and failed. But
we'll
no,
get to that later.
We'll get to that a lot later. So
something I want to talk about real quick. I'm going to steal the conversation.
Okay.
I'm upset that they're not having a rematch between Rutgers and Princeton. You
Penn,
know?
Penn.
That was Princeton.
It was Princeton?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Penn.
No, dude.
You're positive?
Absolutely.
Been saying Penn the whole night.
Yeah, it's like
well, they're both P's.
December 11th, 1869 or something.
They're
like
both
that.
Up there.
Point is,
it's fine.
Yeah. They're both Yale. They're both Ivy League schools.
They're both Ivy League schools.
They don't have scholarships anyway right now.
Nope. They don't.
But no, I'm upset that they weren't able to work that out.
Yeah, you would thought maybe somebody would have been working on that for the last like 10 years.
Right.
Considering we schedule games in like 2030 already. So
right, so
you would thought somebody would have planned.
Putting a bug in now, you got 50 years. Rutgers and Princeton better be friggin' playing in 50 years.
Yeah, 200.
2069.
Yeah. But no, it's going to be a really fun year. I think, and this is because both of us now are in the media profession and we know what it takes to put a minute and 30 package together.
Yeah.
I mean, these are going to be probably 6 to 10 minute packages, stories, and some of them might be longer. They might be do some 30 for 30s on them. But just the production value, the time it took to get all of this together, lot of manpower, a lot of work that all three of these networks have done. And it's going to be really fun. The players are as well. Every player this year will have a 150 patch on their jersey, which is kind of cool. So a lot of cool stuff that we're going to see, 150 years of this football game. I don't think that anyone knew where it would be today.
No.
And how big of a money business it is, today compared to what it was 150 years ago. So very, very interesting. It's going to be fun to see. And, I mean, we're only 3 weeks away. So, but
yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah. They're going to be debuting some stuff though. I think probably the Miami Florida game will be the first one. So,
yeah.
But,
that's August 24th.
Yeah. So I think we're about 3 weeks away. So it's going to be a really fun thing. Definitely check it out. And it won't be hard to miss. I can tell you that it's going to be everywhere this year.
Yeah.
So, the Sun Belt plays a little part in that too. So, and I mean, all that's the cool thing is what I saw, what they showed us is that, I mean, they delve into these smaller conferences too, because there's a lot of history. I mean, HBCUs. I mean, those are huge,
absolutely
huge parts of history.
Absolutely.
In the football game. I mean, it just, there's so many different timelines, aspects that they're going to be able to talk about, and it's going to be really fun. So,
and I'm so excited that we can watch it too.
Yeah,
I'm so excited to be part of this journey along with the college football world.
Maybe in 50 years we'll be part of that journey.
Oh, we will.
Never know.
We already are.
Never know.
So. But let's narrow our focus a little bit now.
Okay.
We'll go from a span of 150 years to a span of 5 years. I don't think we did. I don't remember if we did this segment or at least this transition last week, but. Here's a little segment we're calling Lightning Round.
Lightning round.
All right, so this past weekend,
okay,
or this past week or whatever, point was, College Football News put out this this data where they ranked all 130 teams based on what they did over the past 5 years.
Okay.
They had a bunch of different categories, FBS wins, attendance, NFL draft, APR, conference win percentage, and then they had extra data in there mixed in as well, like quality wins, quality losses, or not quality losses, but bad losses, elite wins, elite losses, basically wins and losses to teams of a certain caliber and losses of a certain size, like by a certain score, certain margin. But all of every single one of the 130 teams was ranked from Alabama all the way to Kent State. Kent State was 130.
Oh, poor Kent State. Alabama plays Kent State next year.
They played him a couple years ago, and that's where...
So they're literally playing the worst
team. That's Saban's alma mater, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So they're thinking, hey, but we gave you your coach, so...
Hey, yeah, we developed that man.
But if we're going to look at the Sun Belt specifically, the numbers aren't exactly on our side. Obviously, the top four, you can guess who they are. Go ahead.
Georgia Southern,
mm-hmm.
Troy,
mm-hmm.
App State,
yeah,
and Ark State.
Yeah, so like those four are the only.
Yeah, you think
the
about
top
who the,
four.
Who's been the best team. I was wavering maybe ULL, but ULL in the last 5 years hasn't been as good as what ULL was.
Right, and that's what this is taking into consideration.
Ago.
It's not looking forward. It's looking back at what has happened in the past 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and what you can quantify.
Mm-hmm.
So... We know the top four. Do you think you can guess the number 10 team out of the Sun Belt?
Out of the Sun Belt? I'm going to say Texas State.
Coastal.
No,
it's Coastal because of the fact that they're so young.
Yeah. They've. I mean, this is their, second actual full-time year where they're fully qualified?
Second or third, yeah.
Because they had to go through the trial probationary years.
Right. So.
Okay.
Four at the top, one at the bottom. That leaves five in the middle. Let's play. Guess the order of the five teams here.
Okay.
Guess the number five team in the Sun Belt over the past 5 years.
Over the past 5 years, the fifth team was Georgia Southern, number four.
Yes, Georgia Southern was number
four. Georgia Southern was number four. Okay, I'm gonna go with my Raging Cajuns.
No.
No. Would it be the other Louisiana team?
Nope.
Really?
You're looking at Louisiana in number six. The number six spot.
So number five. Over the last 5 years.
Yes.
South?
Yes.
Wow.
They are ranked number 93 overall, right behind number 92 Georgia Southern.
They were that close.
They were that close.
Wow, that really bad year that Georgia Southern had brought them down, didn't they?
So, Georgia Southern's going up and down and up and down. South Alabama's just maintaining up under the 500 level.
Yeah, you got to wonder how big that Mississippi State win was.
Absolutely. And the two San Diego State wins?
Yeah.
Then a Troy win?
You got to wonder how that kind of helped keep them afloat.
I will tell you, the elite wins, South Alabama came in second in elite
mm-hmm.
wins
mm-hmm.
In this conference.
Oh, yeah.
After Arkansas State. Because they beat Mississippi State, San Diego State twice, and
mm-hmm.
Troy.
Mm-hmm.
So, number six is Louisiana. Number seven?
ULM?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ULM.
Okay.
And then the last two, just to figure out, put them in an order. Bless
Probably
you.
Georgia State and then Texas State.
You're right. That's it. Yeah. So, there you have it. App State, Troy, Arkansas State, Georgia Southern, South, Louisiana, ULM, Georgia State, Texas State, and Coastal. South Alabama... overperforming, I think, honestly. Like, I'm surprised that they are as high as they are based on these numbers. But you also got to think, they went to two bowl games in the last 2 years, in the last 5 years. How many bowl games does Louisiana go to in the past 5 years?
Probably two.
I think it was like two.
And that was early.
Yeah.
And they went to one last year, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, now we're going to do the thing that we like to do and have fun with it.
Okay.
We're going to look at the G5 specifically.
Okay.
We talked about this off the mic for a little bit. The Sun Belt does not have, App State is not in the top five of group of five, but they are in the top 10.
Okay.
So that gives you one you can strike out.
Where did App State, where did they rank?
Total?
Total.
45.
45?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Troy was number two, 71.
Oh, wow.
So that tells you the drop off over the past 5 years.
What elite wins did App State have?
App State came in third in the conference in elite wins.
So they must have been just because they've been very solid.
Right. And it's about, it's also, it's about, elite wins is about not Power Five wins, mm-hmm. but wins over teams that have, I think, a winning record.
Okay.
Like two losses or fewer or something like that. Yeah. So, and you get like half a point if it's in a bowl game.
Okay.
So I think the win over North Texas was a big help.
Okay.
And all the win over Toledo was a big help too. So.
Gotcha.
All
right.
So let's go through and let's just do the top five group of five. And I won't give you an order, but I'll tell you where they are in the group of five, top five period.
Well, first foremost, I think it's pretty evident. Boise State.
Number one and number 12 overall, yeah.
Okay. Number 12. Wow. 12
overall, yeah.
Wow.
That's how good they are.
Also out of the mountains, would San Diego State be in there?
They are number 5.
Okay.
Number 42 overall.
Okay. So that knocks out the Mountain West.
Yes. And I told you, now you've got two more conferences to pull from, and I told you they were American and Mid-American.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to the American.
Mm-hmm.
And last 5 years, Houston?
Yep. Number 2 and number 29 overall.
Yeah. Just because of, I mean, they've constantly been there. Now, everybody. Yeah. Everybody thinks it's UCF would be right. The higher, but UCF.
Over the past 5 years?
5 years. I'm pretty sure that first year out of the last 5 years was the year they didn't win a game. Or was that 2013?
No, it was 15.
It was 15.
For UCF.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they would be the only other team. Would they be the other
team? Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Number 3.
Yeah.
So they're number 36 overall. So, yeah.
So, last year definitely helped them out a lot.
Well, the last 2 years helped. Because they've only had one loss in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And then they had the undefeated season in 2013.
Yes.
But that 0-12 season was their biggest hit.
Yeah. So that probably took them down a little bit.
So you got the top, you got four of the top five.
Okay. And then that fifth one
is out of the MAC.
Out of the MAC. And see, you told me that you didn't think I'd know who it was, but I think I've got a pretty good feeling because they've had a couple of draft picks here lately.
Yeah.
They did play in a New Year's Six Bowl. They played against Wisconsin. And I believe it's going to be the Broncos of Western Michigan.
Wrong.
Really?
Western Michigan is number 11 overall, or 11 in the group of five, and number 53 overall.
Really?
Yeah, they're just outside the top 10.
Well, now I'm baffled.
Right?
Buffalo?
Nope.
No.
You're right about the NFL draft picks. That's a big factor in this because they've had one player in particular who's a big deal for the past 5 years.
Well, it's probably Antonio Brown, so it would be Central Michigan.
Wrong.
No.
They've been here in Mobile recently.
Oh, Ohio?
Nope.
Toledo.
There it is. Toledo.
Toledo always – I always forget about Toledo being in the MAC.
Right? But
like, I know they're in Ohio, but there's like four. I don't know. It's just weird.
Right. I'm blown away, though. They're two spots behind Central Florida.
That's very shocking.
Overall. Not like number five in the group of five. They're 38 behind number 36 UCF.
Wow. Over the last 5 years.
Over the last 5 years. That's how consistently good they've been.
I mean, I know Logan Woodside was there for.
Kareem Hunt. But and
Kareem Hunt there the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Goodness, he's that young.
Yeah, he's young.
Wow.
So, yeah, Boise State, Houston, Central Florida, Toledo, and San Diego State.
See, Toledo being ahead of San Diego State is very shocking to me.
Toledo being in the top five is
Toledo
shocking.
Toledo being in the top 10 is kind of shocking.
Because you know who number 6 is? is Memphis.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You got Toledo over Memphis.
Does it list, like, what got him there?
I didn't go through all that for the group of five. I just went through the Sun Belt for that.
I got you.
But, yeah, attendance, conference win percentage, APR is a big deal, and NFL draft plays a part in it as well. Just to round out
the top 10. Well, that's probably why Troy's not.
Exactly.
Because they...
APR, Troy had one of the worst in the country.
Yeah.
And NFL draft, we had four teams with one draft pick in the past 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, the Sun Belt hasn't been world beaters when it comes to getting guys in the NFL.
Yeah, but to round out the top 10, Boise State, Houston, Central Florida, Toledo, San Diego State, Memphis, Appalachian State, Western Kentucky is number 8.
I'm not shocked about that.
Really?
I really thought Western Kentucky, if there would have been a Conference USA team, that would have been the team I would have picked from the Conference USA. I would pick them above Southern Miss.
Southern Miss was just behind Troy, interestingly. Behind Troy and Arkansas State. But, excuse me, where was I? Temple and Navy round out the top 10. No surprise with Temple, no surprise with Navy.
Yeah, Navy's just always there. I mean, like, they might not. Navy's been really good lately. I mean, very good. I can't pronounce his name, but the guy, the head coach, that's Ken.
Coach Ken.
We'll call him Ken because I can't pronounce your last name. They've been very impressive. So that's very interesting. I think Toledo's kind of the shocker, and out of that whole thing, App State's interesting. Just because I mean they've been solid. I think they've had nine win seasons the last probably 4 years, which has been very impressive. But their
App State's big draw is their conference win percentage.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
They were number 2 in the Sun Belt in conference win percentage, but Arkansas State and App State were in the top 10 in the country in conference win percentage.
Yeah.
In the country.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Mm. Western Kentucky actually dipped 8 spots. They're the farthest falling out of the top, any of the top 10 teams.
Well, yeah, they had that really bad year. I want to say, might have been last year. It was either last year or 2 years ago.
But
when they lost Mike White,
swapping 2012 with 2018 is what really did them in. Mm-hmm. And then Temple jumped 22 spots. They were the benefactor of dropping the 2012 year and adding last year. Mm-hmm. In the Sun Belt, I mean, you know, Georgia Southern jumped. They jumped 12 spots. App State was actually the biggest jumper last year.
Well, yeah, if you take that first year that they were in the Sun Belt, they lost their I think they started out 1-7 that first year.
Something like that.
And then they finished the year like 4-7, but then from that time when they started like 1-7, and I want to say they started 0-6 and their first win was against actually Troy that year. It was one of Troy's down years. They just took off. It just clicked. And so once I understand. I see. If they got that year out of that 5 year realm or whatever it is, that probably helped him out. So,
well, now I want you to try to guess who the biggest fall of the over the past year was
in the Sun Belt.
In the Sun Belt.
I'm a ULL?
Yes.
Yeah. ULL was really good from 2009 to 2012. I mean,
yeah.
I felt like I always saw them when I was in high school. I felt like I always saw them in the New Orleans Bowl, like always playing in that game.
Well, yes, but you've also got to think at that point in time, they didn't care about who was the conference champion.
No.
They thought who was going to bring the most butts
most
and
fans.
Seats.
Yeah.
And Louisiana did that for
but still,
6 years in a row.
They're obviously winning. They're winning enough games to get to a bowl game, so
yeah,
you would think.
That's enough. Yep.
But yeah, that's not shocking to me. Troy was where? Third?
Second in the conference.
Second in the conference. Okay.
And 71 overall.
Yeah, those really the wins, I feel like, were probably the biggest thing that got Troy to where
Troy jumped 3 spots.
The elite wins probably were a big deal, just the fact that they... I mean,
Troy's elite
wins...
It's
too bad they didn't do like quality losses, because I would have felt like that Clemson loss would have been It's a pretty quality loss.
They did have elite losses.
Okay.
But see, the number of them, because they defined it two ways. They defined it as against a good team and as against a really close loss.
Okay.
But elite losses, Troy was, again, one of four teams with, like, one or two.
Wow.
Troy didn't actually do so hot in the elite, or excuse me.
Elite wins.
Elite wins, no. No.
Is LSU in there?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say Nebraska not being in there. Nebraska was terrible last year.
But see, that's the thing is Troy's big draw was the bad wins. Troy was 11th in the country in bad wins. So that means Troy was beating
bad teams.
The smack out of
bad teams. Yeah.
Because that's who Troy had to play.
Well, yeah. I mean, when it comes to a national scale, people – and that's the other thing about the Sun Belt. It's changed. But when it comes to the national, like, critics, obviously the Sun Belt is going to be down compared to the other conferences. But still, you know, you got to go win the games.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Man, interesting stuff.
Absolutely.
About all of the programs. But we're in the next segment.
Real quick, I know. I don't
know. I was trying to hijack.
No, you're good. I know you were also, I don't know if you'd be interested in this, but Iowa was number 26 nationally.
Nah, that's not shocking. Well, that would be right where I'd peg Iowa, to be honest
and
with you.
And they jumped six spot, or excuse me. Yeah, they jumped six spots.
2013 was a bad year.
Yeah. And they were number six in the Big Ten.
So. Also not shocking. Who was number one? Alabama?
Yep.
Two was Clemson?
Yep. Or Ohio State.
One of the
it was
two.
Bama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Georgia all in the top five or six.
Gotcha.
So.
Interesting.
Right.
What about our beloved SEC team that we play this year?
Missouri?
Yes.
I knew you would ask. 41.
41. Right ahead of App State.
Huh. Yeah, not too far ahead of App State, actually. Okay. They dropped 13 spots this past year because that 2012-2013 team went to the SEC Championship back-to-back.
They did.
And if they have a down year this year, they're going to fall even further.
Oh, yeah.
They are ranked 10th in the SEC out of 14 teams.
Mm-hmm.
But
sounds about right.
That's about right.
So, well, very interesting stuff here.
Right. Now let's move on. Because we've got another letter in the mailbag.
Mailbox.
Hey, guys. This is Ryan. Big, huge show of what y'all got going on there. Quick question. If you could start, cut, or bench three teams in Sun Belt, who would you choose? South Alabama, Coastal Carolina, or Georgia State? Thanks.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Ryan.
That was Ryan out of, I believe, Montgomery, Alabama. He's got that 334 area code. So basically be that. So start, bench, cut. This is our new segment of the show. This is going to be one of the fun segments. This is going to be one of our tougher segments because me and Thomas were talking for the show because we listened to the phone call, and we were both having some trouble trying to figure out who even to, like, start?
Yeah, we're still thinking about it.
Took
like
me some time. But you want to know what? I think I would start Georgia State. I would keep them solely. And I look at – I'm a big market guy. And so Georgia State has the best market in the entire conference right now. They're in Atlanta. I mean, yes, they have – there's competition in Atlanta.
Out of football,
still,
yes.
Football – best market
because I think Arlington. Has
Arlington. I mean, yes, Arlington, but
they're not
football.
Football. Yeah.
So they tried. And we talked about that last season. You solely out of because of market. Is Georgia State? You can't beat and you can't give up the Atlanta market. I mean, that's just a huge market,
especially in college football.
Especially when it comes to college football, you're in Georgia, you're in Atlanta. I mean, that is Mecca, basically. Birmingham and Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia, are the meccas of college football in the Southeast. So, I'd go Georgia State. Definitely start them. The tough thing was because whoever you pick to bench, you're basically picking who you're not going to cut. South Alabama has so much going for it. Like, so much. Like, you got the new football field. You've obviously got a new coach. You've got all these upgrades happening over the place.
You have more history with the conference.
That too. I mean, you have, you know, obviously the basketball's been in this conference for forever. Baseball's been in this conference for forever. You have that. But Coastal is such a fun, like, it's Myrtle Beach. I mean, you want, that's a fun place to be. Like, that's a cool, you got the teal field. You got Joe Moglia, you know, as their coach. I think he just retired.
He did.
But just the fun, it's a fun school that, I mean, they won a national championship in baseball, mind you, 2 years ago. That's, I mean, yeah, we're strictly talking football here. So I think that's the deciding factor in me, was that we are strictly talking football here. And I've got to go just because of, yes, just because of what can happen, I've got to go, I'll bench South, and I'm going to cut Coastal. And that's not because I'm down here in Mobile. I just think South Alabama right now, you give them 1 year, and this is going to be a really fun school. A school that's, I mean, you're already seeing it. They're dominating recruiting right now. And it's because all these kids are seeing what this school is about to have. And Coastal, I'm not saying y'all don't have good facilities or anything like that, but it's new. It's fresh. And, I'm going to have to go South. That was a very, very tough pick for me between the two schools, though.
I'm glad you went first, because it gave me the opportunity to marinate on it, and I specifically want to go with a different answer than you.
Okay.
If you had cut South, I probably would have gone with the same answers you just gave. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. All
right.
Number one, yes, the Sun Belt could probably get the Myrtle Beach bowl game without Coastal Carolina being involved. But you're absolutely right about Myrtle Beach. That is a huge, huge, huge recruiting hub for that's a huge draw.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta. You also got to factor in Turner Field.
Yeah.
And what kind of a draw they have as far as game day experience, mm-hmm. Which right now doesn't seem to be much, unfortunately. But you're right, they do have the market going for them. South Alabama has somewhat of a beach life going on. And they have the potential.
Beach life.
They got more than Atlanta's got. They got more than what Troy's got.
They do. Okay.
If we're going by beaches in the Sun Belt, South Alabama is a solid number two with Gulf Shores.
Oh yeah. Well yeah. If you want to claim Gulf Shores,
they're going to, and we'll put it that way.
Dolphin Island is more like in Mobile County. Gulf Shores isn't even really. Okay, we're getting off topic.
They have a campus there, whatever.
Yeah,
okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be completely different from you, and that's the whole reason that I'm going to decide to.
So you picked Georgia State?
No. I'm going completely different.
Oh.
I'm going to start Coastal.
Wow.
Because even though we could get that bowl game without them, it's hosted in their backyard, and that'd be kind of awkward.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to bench South Alabama for the same reason, because they got a bowl game in their backyard, too.
Okay.
And I'm going to cut Georgia State, even though I really want to keep them.
Yeah.
But let's think about it this way. What have you done for me lately? With Coastal, you've got a recent national championship. The most recent national championship out of anybody.
Well, you're talking about more than just football.
Right. Okay. You're right.
So I was.
If we're doing strictly football.
Solely football.
You're strictly football. Okay.
This is just football.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to focus on the bowl games.
Okay.
Strictly football.
Okay.
They have a great venue in football. Okay. South Alabama, about to have a brand new great venue. Georgia State. What have you done for me lately? What does Georgia State have that South and Coastal don't? The answer is nothing.
Well, they've got Turner Field.
That, okay. South is about to have a brand new stadium. Coastal's got a relatively new stadium with a just as much of a drawing
feature.
What
have you done for me, Market? I understand that. Like, I mean, that's plausible.
They're also a lot closer to the beach. Coastal's stadium is, isn't it not?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is the same argument that we had about who's better a couple of years, like last year, between
Mobile
South and Georgia State
and Atlanta. Yeah.
I value Atlanta as being cream of the crop market.
And I was
going
to go with him.
Yeah.
But in order to be different from
you,
got to
be different.
I'm going to go with.
That's fair. No, really good question. Those are three.
That's a great question.
Three of the newest, basically, teams part of the Sun Belt,
yeah,
other than App State and Texas
youngest
State.
Youngest programs.
To definitely have to pick between. Hopefully, we don't have to do that because we don't need conference alignment.
No.
Anymore. And I don't think we need to expand. I love the 10 team thing. But no, very good question tonight. Another kind of like thinker. I mean, even last week we had to think about it.
And I love this format. It's something that I wanted to try and get involved last year. It just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But now that we have the hotline, now that we have
the
mailbox. Yes, right. give us a call if you come up with a really good one. Quarterbacks, running backs, coaches.
Dude, anything. I mean, anything.
NFL Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Chicken joints.
Make sure don't be bringing in the SEC talk or Big Ten. No, this is Group of Five. I mean,
okay, if you ask us an SEC question, we will specifically air it and then specifically say we are not answering that question.
Yep, and then we'll send it on to Paul Feinbaum and let him deal with it.
Yep, so, we'll pass it along.
Yeah, because we're buddy buddy with Paul. So, excuse me, Paul.
Pauly F. He lets me call him Pauly.
Yeah, Pauly D. No, that was a good segment. Excited. Keep him coming.
Again, that number is 1-413-400-BOYS. 1-413-400-2697.
There you go. Call
it. Got it the second time.
We literally call it any day of the week.
Yeah.
We record, obviously, probably Wednesday nights. So if you want to get it in on the week you call, like, make sure you get it in before probably Wednesday, 6 p.m., 5:30, 6 p.m.
We're going through them every week.
Yeah,
we're
through them every week.
And if we get a good one, it'll make it. So yeah.
Call right now if you're listening.
Yeah.
We won't answer.
Yeah. Pause it. Go over to your phone. Call us. Leave us a voicemail. Then come back and continue to listen.
Yeah,
Done that? Have you hit pause?
Yeah.
Have you already called us? All right, cool.
Cool.
Final word.
I think we touched on this last episode just because it had broken brand new. But now that we're a week later, we found out more about it. The information around Shai Wertz, I think, we got to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking at the Savannah Now article where Travis Jadon, mispronouncing his name, but whatever. That newspaper was the first to look at the actual police footage from this incident. Mm-hmm. And so basically what happened was Shai Wertz was driving through a town near his hometown.
In South Carolina. Yes.
He was clocked going 80 miles an hour. They pulled him over. They detained the suspect in the rear of a squad car for nearly 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Officers began to grow suspicious of the substantial sheet of white substance covering the majority of the hood on Wertz's car. I'm reading straight from the article.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him what it was, flashed a flashlight on the car, and apparently you could still see the 2018 Camellia Bowl hat in the dash above the steering wheel. And then also on the hood, you see a bunch, like a lot of this thick, semi-thick white powdery substance. Travis says, for a visual, imagine a milkshake accidentally left on a car roof before it splatters down the front as the vehicle drives away. It's pretty clear imagery to me.
Yeah.
But, like, they tested it with the kits they had right there.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a pink, whatever that means, color. And
it's a pink reaction.
And apparently it shocked the officers. They were surprised. And they asked him what it was. And he goes, it's bird crap. Well, that's a lot of it. He's like, I know it's a lot. I tried to clean it off. The words, directly from this police video say, I play football, sir. I play football at Georgia Southern. I don't have no reason to lie about cocaine. I'll promise you that's bird doo-doo. I swear to God.
Mm-hmm. Bird doo-doo.
And
imagine having to type those words. It's bird doo-doo.
Yeah.
You got that doo-doo.
Yeah. So there, the cops were joking about how it tested positive for
all the birds.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, 1,000 birds, and they're all crapping cocaine. Developing some new case law here. There is an Always Sunny in Philadelphia reference in here somewhere, by the way.
Someplace.
But the point of this is the initial reports say he was arrested for a minor possession of cocaine and speeding.
Which is a misdemeanor.
Which is a misdemeanor. Has, I don't know how fast the speed limit is on that particular road, but what is the level for arresting somebody for speeding?
I mean, it sounds like it was like probably a back road, back country road.
Right.
So we're probably talking 45 to 55.
So yeah,
I don't think
doing,
it was like a school zone or anything
right.
by any means. But
so he's doing at least 30, maybe 40 miles over.
Depending. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he actually called the dispatch. And
that's another major point.
That was the other thing, was he actually called dispatch and said, hey, I'm being pulled over. I'm trying to check and make sure, are these actual law enforcement officers that are pulling me over? And
right.
they confirmed, yes.
He's like, all right, well, I'm going to pull over in a state where I think I'm
a
safe.
Lit, yes.
Which, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that in
today's
age.
Apparently the cops like picked on him because he passed a couple houses or something. But it was like,
yeah.
dude, just
yeah.
be fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not a bad thing to do. I mean, you don't know. I mean, it was at what time of day... you just don't know. They could have been unmarked. I mean, you don't know who's pulling you over.
8:58 that evening.
So is that
at 9
night?
9 o'clock at night.
So they could very well. And I mean, when those lights start hitting, you can't really see the car.
There are constables out. There are actually people who are pretending to be law enforcement.
Yes.
That's
so,
not a common thing, but it's a thing.
Yeah. So, so he gets pulled over. Obviously, he handled the situation very well. We've seen situations handled wrongly in instances
much worse than
like
this. Yeah.
But my big thing is that, so in my career, I've been a part of a dozen ride-alongs, and I've actually seen this NARC test actually used, like in person, seen the officer or the law enforcement agent actually run the whole test, and I've seen how long it takes. I've seen what different, because it can actually light up in about 4 different colors, this type of fluid. There's black, blue, pink, and then obviously if it stays clear, it means there's something actually wrong with it. If it stays clear, it's supposed to turn some sort of color. Blue is heroin, pink is obviously cocaine, black is, I want to say, meth. But the thing about these tests is that there have been known, I mean, talked about,
absolutely.
Documented cases of these things are not 100% correct all the time.
I want to say that my father, who is in law enforcement, has gone on the record to say that these tests don't work very well, and we're specifically swapping to a different test
yes.
from now on.
Yeah.
Am I correct in that?
Yeah,
that
I mean,
the
no,
case?
There's been plenty of cases where...
False positives,
exactly what it is. And so... And this is what's interesting about this story is that this happened. I think this happened on Saturday. Was this last Saturday?
Tuesday afternoon.
So last Tuesday, or was it? Yeah. It was
no. July 31st.
So that would have been Friday.
Yeah, a week ago today.
Yeah. So
a week ago today.
Yeah. So so last Thursday. So yeah, it. We haven't gotten to the part of the test where what tests after they've impounded the car probably so what have they done with the tests? Have they run any other types of tests? And that's what nobody knows yet, because that's really going to tell us, because these tests they are not 100% reliable. And it's very interesting, and we are not a cop show, we are a football show, but it's very interesting to me as a person that these tests, they've been proven that they are not fully 100% reliable. So why are they still using them? I don't know. But I've seen him work the right way, because in one of the instances that I saw one work, they found a chemical or residue that looked like heroin, tested it, hit for heroin, and then about an hour and a half later, they took 5 pounds of heroin out of the same car. So I've seen them work right, That was incredible to see. But I've also read and seen other officers, and even officers have told me, we're a little wary sometimes of using these as full evidence, because they can be lawyers know how to fight this type of stuff. That's basically what they were telling me.
The only follow-up tests that I know of and can confirm are mentioned in this article, and they say minutes after the first narc test, they did a different corner of the hood, the same substance,
mm-hmm.
minutes later, mind you,
mm-hmm.
and it came up pink as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they had given it more time, that might have done something differently.
Yep.
But the second, or in this case, the third drug test was given to Shy Wirtz himself by an attorney.
Yes.
He passed it,
and his
coach has let him back onto the team.
Yes.
Chad Lunsford came out and said he's back. He's reinstated.
Yeah, he is reinstated, but he still faces, because for Georgia Southern policy, if you have any sort of misdemeanor, you do face a one-game suspension. And that's a big one-game suspension, because their first game is against LSU.
We can tell you from experience, going into Death Valley without your starting quarterback,
you're going to want everybody.
You're going to want everybody.
I mean, I'm about 99% sure that their first game is LSU, as I'm checking it here. But no, either way, you don't want to have, because it's probably going to be the first game of the year. So you don't really want to have your star quarterback missing, your first game of the year. And especially if you're playing a team like LSU, that's going to make it really tough. Yeah, it is LSU. I was just checking myself one more time.
Yeah, it was either that or Minnesota. But
yeah, no. And of course, it's Shy Wirtz we're talking about, who, you know, that's a big-time player to lose.
Absolutely.
They also had another guy arrested who did much worse things, mind you. We haven't even gotten into him yet. We aren't. We're focusing on Shy Wirtz here. But that guy's got quite a history. I don't think we'll see that guy for the rest of the year, because he had some felony charges on him. So the interesting thing, and it's because Shy Wirtz is the starting quarterback, but I was seeing on social media today, there was a couple of online blogs that are not that were kind of called out for the way they wrote the article, that a lot of them are placing Shy Wirtz, and some people believe that it's a racially motivated how they are placing or writing or basically describing what Shy Wirtz is. And it's basically calling him a thug, and, you know, how dumb he looks when he tried to call bird poop cocaine or cocaine bird poop, you know, either way. And there's a lot of outrage I saw from the Georgia Southern fans. I mean, from the minute the news broke, Georgia Southern fans were like, come on, like, this just doesn't sound right. Like, it doesn't.
Absolutely.
And just the fact that they need to know, like, one Georgia, there's some sites that were bashing the media. And I want to say this, because I am part of a media, and what you are reading on a lot of these online blog sites, these guys are not journalists. These guys don't know ethics. These guys don't know how to write unbiasedly. These guys don't know how to correctly report a story and not put their own opinions in it. And when they start putting their own opinions in it, like we do on our show, it becomes an op-ed. It becomes an editorial. It is there, but they take this word for word, and they need to understand there's a difference between journalistic media, journalistic coverage of an event or a situation like this, and just some guy on a computer that has no idea of the situation talking about it. And that's the biggest thing that I saw, was that they need to understand none of the local news stations painted him like what some of these online blogs did.
No,
none of them did.
No.
And those are the people that if you want the facts, if you want to know the correct stuff, what actually happened in what the police reports, go and look at your local news stations. They're going to be covering it the right way.
And we've made it, number one, we've made it clear that we work at a local news station here. We've never hidden from that. Number two, We've made it clear that this is the majority of our opinion. Mm-hmm. Whenever we're giving our opinion, we've made it clear that that is our opinion. It belongs to either Colin or myself. Number three, it's time for a little journalism lesson, because when it comes to ethics and when it comes to writing stuff in sensitive stories like this, you go to the police report, you mm-hmm. write what's in the police report, because if anybody calls you out on it, you can point and say, that's exactly what the police are saying.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking it directly from their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
You always source, you always give credit, you always, there's a word that starts with an A, I can't think of it right now, but the point is,
annotations.
The police reports say, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And I know that when I specifically wrote the story for our local news station,
mm-hmm.
I wrote, this is what happened.
Yeah.
This is what came from the police report.
Oh, yeah.
Because yep. I knew that enough. I looked into the situation and yep. read exactly from the police report.
Yep.
So, you're right. There are a lot of people who are going to go straight off the police report and straight off of these other reports, secondhand, third-hand reports, and bashing the player. When the truth is, looking at the way he handled it, from the case of the Savannah Now, the report from the Savannah Now,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like he handled it the best way he could.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bizarre situation.
It is.
I honestly, and I know I said last week, I said something to the effect of, he got arrested for cocaine. I think I might have said that as a Troy fan, I was happy for it because he's gone. I don't know. I'm going to take that back.
I mean, this is the person we're talking about.
Right. The point is, this is a person. I'm also saying the facts have truly come out, and now what has come out, I'm going with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that he passed a drug test. The school mandated him to take a drug test after this, and he passed it. And so that's the other interesting thing.
Yeah.
Was that, and so that's why he was reinstated to the team, was because he passed that drug test. So that's the other weird thing, is that the kid wasn't hiding anything. And if he was hiding something, he wasn't doing it very well, because it was on his hood. So, I mean, if you would think, oh, crap, I have cocaine on my hood, I should probably wash that off. Like, obviously, nobody can be that dumb. Like, that's what I'm trying to say, is if it was actually that, and I'm not saying he does cocaine by any means, but a person would try to wash that off, not just ride around town with it on their hood. So that's the other kind of interesting thing. And then the other interesting thing, kind of, it's kind of the funny part, because this isn't a funny situation, but the fact that if it is bird poop, what are birds doing? We had meth alligators at one point. Now we have cocaine birds, like birds on cocaine. So that's a little strange. I'm sure that'll be plenty of stories coming out of this. So no, just, I think it's going to be an investigation. It still is an investigation. I think hopefully it gets settled or figured out before that first game of the season, because back to football, if Georgia Southern doesn't have Shai Wirtz on the field, it's not even gonna, I'm sorry, there's not gonna be a ball game. Like, Shai Wirtz is that valuable and that important to that offense. Yeah, they might have a backup, but he's the reason why that offense is gonna go this year.
So, allow me to dig myself out of the hole a little bit.
Okay.
What I was trying to get at was, if he's innocent, he's innocent. If he's not, he's not.
Yeah.
For better or for worse with the team.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I hope that he's cleared of this. If every indication from what we've gotten is true, then it appears at face value that he would be innocent. And if that is the case, I hope he is cleared and eligible to play before they take on LSU, because I would love to see Georgia Southern beat LSU.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if he is not innocent, which is not what it appears to be on face value, but the facts
I'm sure
are still not completely 100% solid, I hope that this situation is handled and dealt with quickly enough so that the football team is, number one, not affected, and number two, it is not a distraction.
Well,
and I hope that it goes both ways, whether he's innocent or guilty.
It'll be handled internally, because it is now, after everything and the fact that he passed the drug test, it's a misdemeanor. And he still has a speeding fine, but it's also a misdemeanor. So they will handle that probably internally. And even if it comes back where, God forbid for his case, yeah, it was cocaine. It's still, it was less than like a gram of cocaine, which is not a lot. And still, they charged him with a misdemeanor. So misdemeanors carry one game suspensions in the Georgia Southern policy. So it'll be handled internally at the worst. So, but no, we're going to see where this investigation goes. Hopefully it gets wrapped up soon.
And I think that, I think that's the final word.
Yeah, that is the final word.
All right. Well, that wraps up our episode two.
Episode two. We're rocking and rolling at this point. A lot of good stuff. We still, I mean, we're still waiting for football. We still have 3 weeks.
We literally have 2 weeks from Saturday.
Yeah.
3 weeks from tomorrow before Sunbelt gets underway.
Yep.
And we're gearing up. We're going to do more picks.
Mm-hmm.
We got a whole segment for that.
Yeah. We've got a couple of segments that, like we said last week, we can't even get into yet because it's not football season.
Right.
So we're going to have a lot of fun this year. We're going to have some challenges. We're going to have some contests. We're going to have just fun things that a lot of people can get involved with.
So, number one, follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. He's Colin. He's at Colin Cahill 13. I'm at Thomas Gleaton. Best takes in the world going to be on the Bench Boys account. I got some stupid stuff on my personal. I'm not going to speak for Colin. Number two, if you got a question, you got a comment, you got something you want to tell us, call us the hotline. 1-413-400-BOYS. That's 1-413-400-2697. And if you haven't gotten it right, we've got it on our social media. Number three. I didn't plan this far ahead.
Just come on back.